From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made in four different cities: Oakland, Pittsburgh, Detroit, New Orleans. A local class sent artists to those cities, meeting with muralists and touring various neighborhoods. And sometimes, if you want to understand your own city, it's good to gain a sense of perspective. What's happening in other cities? How are their neighborhoods revitalizing? How are they expressing themselves? Here in Rochester, sixth grade students are working on their own mural project. They've teamed up with artist Sean Dunwoody, and they're painting as part of a national event involving more than 100 schools in 24 states. They're creating murals in different Rochester neighborhoods, hoping to portray their city in, well, we'll find out this hour, maybe a more hopeful light. We're going to talk about what they're going to be trying to do here and what they've learned in traveling to other places. Really fascinating stuff with the students from the Genesee Community Charter School. This hour, a conversation about all of that and more. Let's say hello to our guests. Two students with us. I was going to say Alexis Stubbe. You're not a student. You're a teacher. Alexis Stubbe is really the creator of this project, is fair enough to say. She's a sixth grade teacher at Genesee Community Charter School. And we're going to find out in a moment how this all came together. Thanks for taking the time to be here.
Hi, Evan. Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
And the ubiquitous Sean Dunwoody, Rochester artist and designer, is back here. Nice to see you.
It's great to be here, Evan. And calm down. You're
okay. Sean's giving me looks from across the table.
The two students who are with us. Natalia Barone is a sixth grade student at Genesee Community Charter School. Natalia, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And Zach Neuer is also a sixth grade student. Welcome to you, Zach.
Hello, everybody.
All right. I mentioned some of the cities. You went to, where'd you go, Oakland?
I went to Oakland, California.
Where'd you go?
I went to Detroit.
All right, we're going to find out what you learned there and what your goals are here. But Alexis, take me back to the beginning here and how this project came together.
Sure. So I'm fortunate enough to work with the magnificent Chris Dolgas. We've been working together for several years, and every summer we put our heads together to come up with a hot topic that we want to create curriculum around for our incoming sixth grade students. So this year we went out on a limb. We took a little risk. We wanted to create curriculum that had more of a social justice focus, to take on some hard conversations and hard topics with our sixth graders. And we thought we'd look at Rochester and how it's going through its revitalization. There's a lot of talk about that going on in the news locally, right? Mm-hmm. Politicians are having those conversations and stakeholders. So we're like, well, let's give it up to the kids and see what they have to say and what we can find out. So we started there. When the kids came into school early September, we took them on a walk around part of the city looking for evidence of bridges and barriers in our city. So what are the literal, right? And then the more figurative. So we noticed public art. We noticed urban gardens, the Rochester Public Market. We also noticed some barriers in our way as well. The Interloop, right? We thought about how that has been a barrier in our city. We looked at the railroad tracks, but then we saw evidence of barriers that impact Rochester's citizens every day, like poverty and homelessness, miseducation, trash strewn on the street. So we went with the kids. They saw evidence of this, and we started to ask questions. You know, well, why? Why are some people included in this revitalization and this renaissance of the city, and why are some voices left out? And then we focused in on public art as a way to lift up and create bridges between neighborhoods and between people. And then it just so happened that Sean Dunwoody was coming to our school, and we had a conversation, and we said, hey, and, you know, we put our heads together with him, and then here we are, you know, creating murals around the city.
When was all that happening?
This was, this was back in September, October, and I think we met with Sean right around that time, mm-hmm. right in the fall. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Sean, what did you think was going to be sort of a doable project, and how did it end up getting linked up with this this national project? I know your world of what is doable is sort of limitless, which is kind of a weird question, but I'm curious to know how you'd answer that.
Well, and doable, that's why everyone laughed here. They're like, oh my God, what have you stacked onto our plates? How are we going to pull this off? But I believe in the power of people, and I believe that we can do things when we work together to put our minds to it. So when Chris and and Alexis came to me about this concept, I thought, well, let's do something than just a couple of smaller things. You've actually traveled to other cities. Let's do something big and grand. So instead of doing one mural, met with the students, all these things, we worked together to design and figure out what we're going to say and who we're going to be. So we came up with the concept of going into each quadrant of the city and creating murals. And so it became the Four Elements Project. So it's about how we're going to address whatever's happening in that neighborhood. From that, they actually created their name as well. They're actually the Rock Believers because they believe Rochester can change. If you move forward, we got a T-shirt for you right here, Evan.
Here it is. Very good.
And as you can tell, it's got like this periodic table, image on there of the B. And it's in the images that what we worked on and talked about is what can we be to our community? How can we be stronger, focused? How can we be greater citizens? How can we be the future that Rochester needs to see? And so these Rock Believers are what we've created. So one of the key things I wanted them to understand that it's not so much about how perfect the line is or how vibrant that color pink is. Ah, it's really about them being there, them being engaged, talking to residents, listening to what they want to say, what they want to have in their neighborhood. I said that's the most important thing. Also looking at neighborhood design. What happens in certain neighborhoods that may be lacking in other areas and they have a plethora of in other areas. So it's really looking at your surroundings and helping and working with these young people to create messages and help better know their city of Rochester. This is not a thing of where we're, it's the Great White Hope and we're riding in on white stallions and trying to make this happen because I'm a black guy. And so this is really about just being engaged in your neighborhood and knowing more about your city and knowing more about your neighbors who are there. I mean, a lot of the spots we've gone to, they've actually like, hey, I know this person. I know that person. So it's really connecting the city of Rochester.
Now, I know that, you have a reputation and the people in this town know you enough to, I think in many cases, trust you. But I don't think they've told you, hey, Sean, anything you want to do in the future, just paint or create murals on wherever you want, whatever space you want. I mean, you still have to find space for this.
Yes, you do have to find space. So it takes a lot of community collaboration. So our four mural projects, the four murals we're actually going in, we're working on Pissarro's Market, and we're working with students at School 45 to create that message and what that is, and that's on the northeast quadrant of Rochester. We're working in the northwest quadrant with Cameron Community Center Ministries, and we're meeting with their residents, and we're there working with the people who are in that neighborhood. We're actually redoing a memorial that's on the corner of Charlie and Thurston. So when we're there working, we're engaged and we're asking questions. These young people have pages and pages of notes. They're not afraid to interview strangers and ask, what is it that you want to say? How do you want to be engaged? And one of our last and final projects is going to be a paint out. This is when we're inviting the community to actually engage with us. And we have a small group that have worked with number 12 school students, their second grade class, to develop the story of home at when we're painting the Frederick Douglass Library and Recreation Center in 12 school. And we're wrapping the whole school in a mural. So we're going to need about hundreds of people. And these young people are going to teach people how to paint. It's going to be fabulous. Ha ha.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a little bit of your historical backdrop, and if you had a hard time keeping up with Sean there, Alexis, what's our timeline here? And again, how many totals? Four sites. What's the timeline?
Well, the last day of school is June 20th, so we're hoping to get at least. We've got a good head start on Pissarro's. We've got a great head start on Cameron. We haven't started the memorial yet, but from what I understand, and this, when I say that, I mean like Sean's just like, hey, got another one. So we don't know too much about that one yet. That's more of a service for that community there. And then School 12 is it's
June 8th. Our paint out. Please join us.
Yes, come. And it's huge. We've got the facade, much of the facade of the school, and it wraps around the side, and then it's back on the rec center. So that is going to be
and creating
many
a story
phases.
Walk as well. Yes.
Yeah. So
a story walk.
Story walk. So it'll be connected to the story of home and creating playful sidewalks as well. So it's how do we engage off the wall, but also on the grounds, and it's about stepping forward. So now these young people are the future, and using Douglas's home, his second home, his farm home there on South Avenue, and using the idea of being future leaders and how do we step forward. So pulling that into the theme of the mural.
Okay, so how many total students do you have involved in your sixth grade?
30 students from GCCS. And then we've got a few students we're working with at 45 and the second grade class, one of the second grade classes at School 12.
What did, or where did the idea to send them to other cities come from?
That's something we've done for years and years at GCCS.
Oh, you
We're
have?
Really
okay.
fortunate, yes. So depending on what our year-long topic is in sixth grade, we, early in the year, sometimes with student help, sometimes with not, identify cities that are exemplars for what that topic is. So in the past, 1 year we studied bike culture in Rochester, and we wanted to really lift up alternative transportation. So we went to cities that exemplified bike transportation and bike culture. So this year we identified cities that have sort of, you know, have gone through a renaissance of sorts, maybe sort of left behind with old industries, you know, Rust Belt type cities that have revitalized themselves, but looking through the lens of equity, other voices, youth empowerment and youth voice, and then public art. So we found four.
And let's see here. Natalia, you went to Detroit, you said.
Yeah.
When did you go?
We went in, I think, March.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long?
It was a week long.
Oh, about a week long. Okay.
Yeah.
And tell me about that experience for you.
So we went to, like, see how it's redeveloping itself. And so we, like, saw places that how it, like, the downtown, how it's gotten better and how it's rebuilding itself. So we saw a bunch of organizations that were trying to help those, like rehabbing houses and, like, helping rebuild Detroit.
What was the coolest part?
I think that the empowerment plan. So it was helping, they hire homeless people to work for their business to make coats for the homeless that turn into sleeping bags. So they're, like, helping give them a job and giving them, like, they help them with transportation and, like, all those things that people would need.
Really cool stuff.
Yeah.
And did you know, I know you're only in sixth grade.
Yeah.
But I want to ask you if, you know, if part of that trip, are you thinking about how ideas for Rochester, about how certain things that you see in Detroit for this trip that you took with class may translate here? Is that part of it?
I think so. So when, like, some of these things that homelessness is probably, we think is a big problem in Rochester. So we saw places like the empowerment plan that help that, and it could make Rochester a better place.
Mm-hmm. And are you an optimist about your city? What do you think about
Rochester? Yeah, I believe that Rochester, it has very big potential, and the redevelopment of it starts with ourselves, and it doesn't start with just, like, the buildings and everything. It starts with all of us.
Also, she does not have a script.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And then, Alexis, I want to point out, your students did not come in with a script to read.
No, we did a little prep, but nope, they did not come up with a script.
I mean,
she's speaking from the heart, man, really.
Yeah. Can you characterize how you feel about, you know, listening to her talk about Detroit and what she's learning as a teacher? What are you hoping she's taking from a trip like that?
Well, when kids at GCCS, you know, they've been here, hopefully, you know, the whole time, and we get them their last year before we send them off to middle schools and high school, and they go all sorts of different places. And, you know, we care a lot about New York State standards and curriculum and math, but what we care most about is character and really creating experiences for these kids where they can develop their voice, use their voice, become change agents for their city and for others, develop a greater sense of justice and make change. So when I hear Natalia speak and I, you know, hear Zach and the other kids, you know, a sense of pride is surfaced. I feel extremely proud of them for the risks they've taken.
Yeah.
To get out there and do some hard work and have some hard conversations.
Well, we're going to grill Zach in a moment.
Sweet.
But I want to ask Natalia just a little bit more here. And this is going to be a strange question for a sixth grader, because I can ask your teacher this question, and for her, she knows exactly how she wants to describe it. You just heard her describing the goal they have for you guys, because obviously you've got to take tests, you've got to learn the core subjects, but she wants you to develop in different ways. What do you think about your job as a student? What do you think the purpose of school is?
Well, we're growing to become people who can, if they want, they can become change agents for our city, and they can make Rochester a better place. So we have to learn how to do those things to get to the make Rochester what we want it to be.
So, okay. See, and Alexis, I mean, I think in many ways, this is why people, I think, are when they're cynical about the next generation, when they hear people like Natalia and Zach, it is your cynicism erodes a little bit because I think, these are sixth graders, and I'm sure they're a little nervous, but I think they're enjoying the experience of sharing how they feel about this. And as a teacher, do you have parents talking to you? Do you anticipate ever hearing from parents saying, look, just teach the core subjects. You don't have to be doing X,
yeah,
Y, and Z.
Absolutely. And that's something that Chris and I think about often when we go into our hot topic every year is the response we're going to get from families. But I don't know. We're really lucky where we teach. And there does seem to be this underlying trust that we have. And we have very strong relationships with the families at our school. So we've mostly gotten positive feedback. Like, thank you for providing my kid with an opportunity to share and learn more about their identity and how their identity is impacted by, you know, the world. Or thank you for allowing my kid to get out there and talk with people they wouldn't typically talk to and take risks and get out of their comfort zone. So we're not met with a lot of conflict when it comes to engaging with families. And I think we also, honestly, we try really hard to do a good job with balancing, you know, teaching the core subjects. And anytime we can do a close read, it's a close read on a text that's meaningful to the expedition work that we're doing. So we're very strategic and careful about how we plan.
When she went to Detroit back in, I think, March, she said?
It was March, yeah.
Are you going with different teachers going? How do you divide
that? Yeah, so there's four cities every year. I went to New Orleans with a crew of six kids. My teaching partner, Chris Dolgus, went to Oakland with Zach and his crew. Natalia went to Detroit with Dr. Lisa Wing, who's actually from the Detroit area, so that was great for her. And then the other crew went with our curriculum specialist and instructional coach, Lisa O'Malley, and they went to Pittsburgh. So we divide adults, divide and conquer. And then we have a parent chaperone per crew as well.
And the city you went to, I'm sorry.
New Orleans.
Oh, you went to New Orleans.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, let's find out how Zach's trip went. You went to Oakland?
Yeah.
Also in March,
yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was in March.
And what was your experience in Oakland?
So, like, the first day when I went, we took a tour of the whole place, like, to just see everything. So, and I noticed a lot of problems that Rochester faces, too. And, like I saw a lot of homelessness and, like, all that. So, and then I saw a lot of murals, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then on the first day, we took a tour, yeah. And then the next day, we went to Restore Oakland. It was, like, this nonprofit organization that helps homeless people. So, like, So they give homeless people jobs. They own like a hotel. Mm-hmm. It's a nonprofit, and then they hire homeless people to work there, to get them a little bit of money, to be at least minimum wage.
Okay, and what for you of that was it roughly about a week in Oakland?
Yeah, it was like 5 days.
Okay, what stands out the most for you? What did you learn What's the first thing you think of when you think about that Oakland trip?
I think about, like, creating change for that city because it had a rough patch for a little bit, and then it got back up. So, like, now we interviewed people on the street and then to, like, talk them about what are the challenge Oakland faces, what are, like, what does Oakland succeed in? And then some of them answered in. This one woman I interviewed, she went really deep into it because she said, like, she hears gunshots every day and she doesn't like the because the rent was really high. So she said she doesn't like that. And she just went really deep into it.
Hmm. Well, certainly California is a state that could be its own show on the price of rent and the price of living. But I think
yeah.
I think what she was sharing with you is just a little bit of a view inside the struggle that people have. How do you view your own city? How do you view Rochester, and you know how you think this city is doing?
I think it's doing well, but I know it can get better because Rochester is kind of hitting a rough patch. And then, but the same as Oakland, and Oakland went back up a little bit. So, I think if we help Rochester, we can make it better.
Okay. And you also saw some art. You said you saw.
Yeah.
Did you talk to artists?
Yeah, we met with a muralist, and he just showed us around, like, he works at a school, so he showed us the mural he painted there, like, all the murals, and, like, what does the murals mean? So, like, how do they connect to Oakland? Because if they don't connect to Oakland, that means, so they, because he told us a story about this guy that painted one mural, and he wasn't from, Oakland, so he it looked really nice, but it didn't connect to Oakland. It didn't connect to, like, the culture of Oakland.
So there has to be meaning.
Yeah.
Some sort of a connective tissue that shows up in the artwork itself. That's really interesting. By the way, did he say to you, oh my gosh, you know Sean Dunwoody?
Yeah.
I bet you he did.
That happened to me, actually. So when I, and muralists I talked to in New Orleans, they had heard of Sean Dunwoody and had, like, looked to Sean as a mentor or model. Actually, it's a model work, so.
I love that.
I know, New Orleans knows you.
I love it. So Zach went to Oakland. And Natalia went to Detroit,
yeah.
And Alexis was on a trip to New Orleans.
Yeah, yes.
What stands out to you from New Orleans?
Oh, New Orleans was incredible. You know, I'd been there pre-Katrina, so getting back there post-Katrina was important, and our students knew that going in. I had a little background about how it's rebuilding itself after such trauma and tragedy. We met with incredible nonprofits doing the similar work, right? Really trying to incorporate voice and create equitable housing opportunities, equitable job opportunities, a lot of job training, and helping people find employment, especially for those marginalized groups of people. Met with some incredible mural artists that are just speaking truth left and right for those who don't have a voice, for those, I mean, just in New Orleans, but nationally as well. We learned a lot from our trip to New Orleans, and were able to bring back some ideas that we hope to suggest to our friends, our stakeholders here in Rochester that we worked with prior to going to on our trip.
For those who haven't been back post-Katrina, what stands out the most to you?
Wow. Let's see. I think we met with an organization working in a particular neighborhood, the Tulane Canal is a nonprofit, but they're working in a particular neighborhood that pre-Katrina was just impoverished and left behind. And they're trying to really hard to rebuild that area with those same people in mind, right? They're trying to hold on and still to that culture and that community and lift up those people, but at the same time, they're battling, you know, gentrification and the Whole Foods market down the street. So I think that there are people doing good work to create equitable situations for those residents of New Orleans that lived there before the hurricane, but also trying, you know, just balancing that development, right? And then, I don't know. It's a battle. It's a battle, and they're working in the trenches there.
And Alexis, when you see public art that you said is speaking truth,
yeah.
For people who are maybe cynical about public art, before I turn to Sean on this question, I'm curious to know when you see it as obviously it moved you. It's ahead of some sort of a power,
right.
To convey some kind of a message.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it can be as effective as at least you feel it is?
Well, it was because that these mural artists took into account the voices of the people who lived in the areas where the murals were being implemented. And that's something that we've been really cognizant of as we move forward with our own mural projects, but listening to those people in the neighborhoods and making sure that their messages, their hopes and dreams and needs are represented in the symbolism, in the word choice, in the colors even of those murals. And we heard that from every single mural artist across city, that you have to be listeners when you are creating works of art in neighborhoods that may not be your own. It's not about you. It's about others.
Sean, you heard Zach just say that in Oakland, you know, there was discussion about the kind of artwork that might look gorgeous on its own, but in the context of where it is, if it doesn't fit, it doesn't necessarily work.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with that. How important is that to you as an artist?
With this movement and what we're doing, it was one of the key factors, one of the key issues. That's why they're the B leavers. They have to be listeners. They have to be attentive. And it's not about who you are and what you're there to represent. We looked at when you talked about walls, being barriers. But if you turn a wall sideways, it's actually a bridge, and you can actually create a connection with people. So with this, I tell them all the time, it's about us being here. It's not so much about what this final piece is going to look like. It's about us being here and being engaged with the community. When they interviewed individuals, I'll say one of the locations, Cameron, interviewed a few people over there. They were fantastic. One woman stated that she would like to see some sunshine. She said, just put a sun on there. It'll be great. We come back and we're painting. There's no actual sun there. But when we designed this, we figured we'd make it bright and yellow. So when we're out there painting, this woman comes around the corner and she says, oh my God, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. She's like, where are those young ladies that interviewed me? I got to see them. And they explained to her that we did put the sunshine here because of what you mentioned and what you said, because your voice and input is valuable to make this mural be part of the community and part of who you are. So that's what we try to connect with and make sure that it's there. There was also another, while we're painting, there's a gentleman who was engaged in the painting process with us. He said, hey, can I help paint? We led up Ray, who was a homeless gentleman. He just wants to paint. Let's be a part of it. And we paint side by side. We converse, we have a conversation. It's about getting to know your community and knowing the people around you. It's not coming in to say we have the brightest ideas or the best artwork. It's about we're here with you because we're all Rochesterians and we want a better Rochester no matter what quadrant of the city it's in.
Now, I also want to ask you about if you think public art has any more of a responsibility is the wrong word, but I think where I'm going is when you think about public art that's going to be consumed in its place and also by people who are coming through or coming to that place, art can do so many different things. Is there any emphasis on trying to be as positive in context as you can be? Does it have to be positive? If people are telling stories that are tough and struggling, you know, should the public art reflect that? Do you want to give it some sort of a twinge of hope? I mean, how do you view public art in that context with so many people seeing it?
Okay, well, what I'll address is what we're doing in particular and how you actually do that. Yes, you take their hard stories, you take their hard issues, and you ask, we want to be able to tell this story. Can we represent this? How else can we represent this? How else can we talk about the violence that's happening in the neighborhood? And the discussion that we had between students at Genesee Community Charter School and 45 school students, some of the first things that were coming up, they wanted to have this juxtaposition of ideas, you know, good versus bad or whatever. And so some of the students started saying things like, you know, be a Fruit Loop in the world of Cheerios,
right.
be a unicorn in the world of, you know, turtles. I don't know, I'm making it up or whatever. But when the neighborhood spoke and said what was going on, and the students spoke about what was going on in their neighborhood and saying, no, that's not what's happening here. So that doesn't make any sense to do that. That's just garbage. They didn't say that, but you don't do that because that's not addressing the issues and it's not really connecting with the people.
Yeah.
So at that point, I've tried to teach them to be flexible, whether in our painting or in what our design and concepts are. So they realize, okay, that's not what we need to do. And one of the things they found was we need to tell people to be themselves and don't try to settle into whatever else is happening around you. So we do. We take the words. We're in the store. We take the meeting from Miss R. What's her name was? Who remembers? Oh, and she said, be safe. So yes, we're going to tell people to be safe. This is what she wanted to say because she said, I want you to be safe because it can get dangerous on this corner. So we're going to do that. We're going to address what's actually happening. It has to fit for the time. It may not be the same 10 or 15 years from now, but for right now, we want to address the issues that are affecting that community.
All right, so we got to get our only break of the hour. When we come back, we'll make sure you understand exactly where you can see the public art that was going to be created through this project led by Genesee Community Charter School sixth graders, their mural project in four quadrants of the city, the Rock Believers Initiative. And we're going to talk more about where you're going to be able to see it. I had a listener ask about not only location, but size. And we'll talk to the students a little bit more about what they hope to do with this. So remarkable stuff. You just heard Sean Dunwoody, a Rochester artist and designer, and Alexis Stubbe, who's a sixth grade teacher. And some of her students are here, Natalia Barone and Zach Noor. And we'll get that only break of the hour and come right back on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connections, you know Greg Louganis for his career as an Olympic diver. He's in Rochester on Friday, and he'll join us to talk about activism and breakthroughs in AIDS and HIV treatment. We'll talk to Greg Louganis first hour. Then in our second hour, is it time to stop giving standing ovations for everything? We're going to talk about the etiquette of being in an audience on Friday. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, and take it from Magnus on Twitter. He says, Evan, Sean, completely agree on the community connection. That truly is where my heart is. Art ties us all together here. Hashtag visual world.
Go ahead, John. I love you, man.
Good stuff, Magnus. Thank you. And we're talking about where you're going to have a chance to see this. If you missed that earlier, let me ask Alexis and Sean to kind of lay out the landscape. Alexis looked at me like, oops, I've got to do that now. Lay out the landscape on where you're going to be able to see the finished murals, and then we're going to talk about individually what's going on at these places.
Okay. So we have a mural at Cameron Community Ministries, and that's on Cameron Street.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is, right? And the northeast quadrant of the city, right? And I know, I got to get my mapping skills going on here. Northwest, yeah. Sorry, see, there it is. Northwest, sorry. And then we're also at Passaro's Deli, or Deli Market, which is on Clifford. Mm-hmm. And then School 12 on South Avenue, on the facade, like we said before, in the facade and wrapped around on the back at the rec center.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then there's the fourth one, too.
Child and Thurston. Yeah, I just load them on. That's why they're laughing.
Yeah, every time we see Sean, he's like, hey, I got one more. So, yeah, so I can't keep up with this guy. Do my best.
All right. So those are the locations. And
yes.
What's the state of progress and where what's happening at those locations?
We'll be, if you stop by on Cameron on Monday, we're supposed to be out there. So you'll see us cleaning that one up and then shooting over to 45, and then we're going to schedule dates for our Chai Lai, which I'll be drawing in this weekend.
Okay.
And the June 8th is our paint out at School 12, and that's where the community can come and join us in painting and working alongside these great artists that we have here at the table.
Are you in charge on a day like that?
It's always organized confusion. There's no way that it's just...
I mean, so true. Yeah.
But do you have like an overarching goal of what you want? Something, because if you have 100 people standing side by side painting,
yeah, it's a lot. But you're going to need that many. So that's why right now, as I told these students beforehand, as I told these young artists, I said, what you're doing now is learning how to deal with when you have someone who doesn't know how to paint or is afraid to paint. How do you're going to teach them? So you can teach them the butterfly method. So you can be slapping paint in people's hands. Don't you love it? And so what?
Well, what's the butterfly mean?
Did I do it to you?
Yes.
You can explain it.
So,
explain what we're doing.
All right, Natalia.
You take your brush, and so you have two colors that are side to side, and then you take your brush and you do light, and you lightly brush them in between the two colors. And then you do light to dark, and then you do light again until they're like mixed, I guess, kind of together, and it's like a gradient kind of.
Perfect. That's exactly what it is. And so the way I teach them is I have them hold out their hand, and I take a paintbrush and I slap it in the palm of their hand. I say, you're not going to do this. And paint flies all over the place. I say, wipe off your hand. And I say, now I'm going to do it on your hand like a little butterfly stroke. And that's a little soft, little bit of color. And that's what you're going to do. You're going to work wet on wet and create that gradient. Exactly. And so they can teach the other. And what I do is I try to teach them so they can teach each other. So when we're working with our tools, I'm like, when you hear me yell, give me a pole, you know what I'm talking about. When I say, what's the difference between who can tell me what's the difference between a roller and a roller cover? Go ahead.
So the roller is the thing that, the cover is the thing you put on the roller, and the roller is the thing that spins it.
Okay.
So there's education throughout this whole project. So they can actually tell someone else, hey, we need, I need you to go get me a roller. I need you to get me a brush. We need to cut. We learn how to work with angle brushes. So they're actually learning. So I want them to be able to teach other people when they're able to come. And what's the one key thing that we need all the time that we can't ever seem to get? We always lose them.
The paint can opener. We always have many, and then they're gone forever.
They're gone forever.
It's like colored pencil sharpeners.
Do you know where they are? They are with the lids that match the Tupperware containers. Because the actual correct lids are probably with the paint can openers in some mass graveyard of household tools that no one knows where
they
go.
Or they're in someone's pocket.
Yeah, So that's part of it as well. They're actually learning some vocabulary and everything else that they can actually communicate with one another. So one of our first paintings, which you can ask them about this, what happened, was just priming, just so they could understand, here's a pole, an extension pole, here's a ladder. Where's your spotter on your ladder, right? What's that person supposed to do?
They hold it so you don't fall down.
There we go. All right. So, yeah, no one wants it. And you were down.
I was
two too busy running your mouth.
Spot
the ladder. So yeah, it's like, so I want to give them, so when we're out there in the field and I'm yelling, which will happen, hey, get me a pole, that someone knows where it is. And they realize I don't call out names. I say, give me two, give me four. And they're like, all right, us four, us three, us one, we're going to do that. So it's just a way for us to create this sort of painting family. So when it comes to such thing as a big paint out, I can say, I trust you to handle this corner. And if anyone comes up to you, you know you're doing blue and purple, and you're going to teach them how to do this gradient.
And when you've got 100, how many people could you have on your paint out?
It could happen. When we did the Fruit Belt Project, and I was out here about that, throughout the course of the day, we had 300 people show up. So that was a little simpler of a painting, painting in shapes, but this one's going to be a bit more detailed. So I'm giving each group their section to work in and say, hey, when someone comes up to you, you show them this is what you need them to do. This is what you need them to fill in. So at times, they're going to be able to step back and watch them. And what's one of the important things about painting that happens that you have to do is what? Who remember?
Watch it dry.
You got it. Yeah. Watch it dry.
Watch it dry?
Yep. So before we can move to some steps, we got to wait for some paint to dry. So we got to learn that, hey, we just got to watch paint dry. So you got to figure that's part of painting.
Now, Sean does seem like he could have been a teacher. I mean, he is a teacher.
He is a teacher. Yeah. Yes. And he's taught Chris and I many lessons about being flexible, trusting the artist's process. You know, teachers are all a little control freak on the inside. So you know, he's chilled us out a little bit. To just trust him, trust the kids. It's been great.
Well, you trust the kids. Well, we're painting, which I know you want to get to these young folks here, but we're painting at Cameron, and we're doing the front of the building. And so I've told them earlier on, I said, I'm going to trust you because you're going to spend more time up against this wall than I am. So if you feel that something needs to be another color or something else, I'm going to take your word for it. So it actually happened last week. A couple of students said, hey, why don't we paint this wall like a zebra? And I said, you know what? That's a way better idea than I had, so do it.
Yeah.
And
so, zebra.
Purple zebra. Yeah. Purple zebra print on this walking path into Cameron Communities Ministries. And it looks fantastic. And it's one of those things where they've been working at it long enough and can think about it, where I say, I trust your decision to make a different, take another approach.
All right. So you guys have been out. Where have you been painting, Zach?
I've been painting at Cameron Community Ministries.
All right, so you were out of Cameron.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was good. I learned that you have to, like, I learned how to put more detail into it, like, not just slap paint anywhere. Like, you have to put more detail into it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, don't mess up. No. If you mess up, you can just cover it.
Oh, okay. Do you want to add to that, Sean?
It is, because what's the best thing about painting?
You can paint over it.
You can paint over it. Shout out to Crook. What's up, man?
Now, you also going to get better at spotting?
Kind of.
Okay.
No, he is.
No.
Yeah.
we're giving you a hard time, Zach. Have you enjoyed it?
Yeah, I have.
Tell me what it's like when you're out there working with a group and you're starting to see it come together.
Like the first day, we were just like painting the background, and like we were just learning everything about it, and then now it feels good, and we're listening to the people, everybody's ideas, the people that live there, and we're letting others have a voice to paint.
I think, you know, Sean, when he says listen to the people who live there, the last thing you want to do is crank out this really remarkable piece of work, but then have people who live nearby say, that's not us. That doesn't fit. I don't get it. I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't sound like you're going down that road.
Well, we try to make sure we do the best that we can. You can't please everyone. That's just life. But the point that I want them to understand is, as young artists that they are and future creators here in Rochester, is to be present and to be aware and do the best that you can. Do the best that you can. You will get that response. Just as I said before, when the woman came back around and was hugging the girl, she was like, oh, this is beautiful. This is amazing. I love it. These are the kind of things where that's the value. That's the value. That they may come across that person someplace else in the point in time in their life to say, you know what, you helped shape my world. It goes both ways. It's a duality. So I think everyone's learning from each other as we create and do this, and I think that's the valuable point. And they'll spread the stories, and they'll say, what, you know what, those kids did a great job listening to me and being engaged. So They've been fantastic at it.
Natalia, you've been working where? What location?
I was at 45 and Cameron too.
45 and yeah. Cameron. Okay. How many total days? That means you've been out there.
3 days.
Okay. Yeah. How's it gone?
It's gone really well. Yeah, we're almost done with 45.
Okay. What's it look like?
So the front is like a galaxy, and it says "Be Yourself," and it's in Star Wars lettering, and it's really big, so you can see it. And one of the sides says "Growing Leaders," because that's School 45's, like, I guess, motto, you could say. And the other side is going to be like text bubbles that my group created. So it's going to say like "Add your piece to the puzzle," and then you don't spell it like "piece." You spell it like P-E-A-C-E, and like "be the light in the dark" and all those things.
I like that. Add your piece to the puzzle. That's a play on words I've never heard. I like that.
I know. I saw it too when I was going through the notes. I was like, did she spell this wrong? I said, did she spell this wrong? Each page it had, and I thought that was brilliant. And these are their ideas. So it's about the phone. It was about the galaxy. Yep. And I teach them when we talk about what words do we want to show. So actually that "be yourself" is actually part of a longer statement that one of the young ladies of 45 came up with. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to be able to highlight "be yourself," because what is that store across the street from?
Deli.
What's across the street from the store? Which we said people are going to be there.
Is it a bus stop?
Yes, there is. It's a bus stop. So it's like you have someone's attention for that length of time. So you want to send a message that comes from the neighborhood. I also had them look at what was in the neighborhood. What did we look at when in front of the door? What happened in front of the door? And I said, take a look.
There was a telephone pole.
Okay, we removed the telephone booth, but what were people dropping in front of the door?
Oh, bikes.
Bikes. And I made them think about, how do we get a bike rack here? We can see every 10 minutes someone's dropping a bike in front of the door, but in other neighborhoods, you've got 4 bike racks on one corner, and there's never any bikes on it. So why is that? Why are we not looking at actually what's going on in design for what's happening?
That is such a good point, by the way. You know, just when you see something totally underutilized in one spot, and then... where there's much more of a need than another. By the way, do they even know what a phone booth is? Do you guys know what a phone booth is?
No.
They do. We were talking about rotary phones today.
Yeah, hold on. Zach said no. What's a phone booth, Zach?
It's the thing where you like...
Hold on. No. This is an important moment.
There you are. And then it's on the pole, and then you have to call a number. And then pick it up.
I think I know what a telephone booth is.
I think he's talking about the TARDIS.
I think he is. He is. I think you're on the trail.
So it's a booth, and it has a phone that is connected to the string thing.
A string thing,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, string thing. And then you have the numbers, and you type in the phone number, and I think you have to pay to use it.
Yes.
Don't you have to pay like a quarter or a dime?
Yeah, that's right. There's a quarter slot there. What is that? Does that seem strange to you, Natalia?
Yeah.
Same.
The string thing. What do you think that string thing is?
I don't really know.
Yeah. It's like for like, oh my God.
I know.
Of all the valuable things we've talked about this hour, this is the least substantive, but definitely the most fascinating to me. Zach got his hand up. Go ahead, Zach. Go ahead. We're just diverting totally now, but go ahead, Zach. Roll with it. What
do you
got?
Isn't it like an electricity thing that brings big electricity?
Yes, this is in the world before cordless or wireless. Yes, indeed. Does anybody know what a rotary phone is? Okay, we'll do that on a different day. okay. So it's fascinating. So anyway, now that we've cleared that up here.
But this is great. This is how we interact all the time. Do we not get sidetracked?
I love that. And I also, I want to get back to Sean's point, thinking about if you've got a bus stop in front of you, that's an asset that's really big for a location on public art, right? Because that people don't just go and pick up the bus. Not every bus is right on time, unfortunately. People spend a lot of time there, right?
Yes, and that was part of the initial project of Words to Live By, and that's why we use words from the community and people that are connected there. And it was actually using corner stores and bus stops, because if corner stores can advertise to me about, you know, cold beer or blunts for sale, we should also have something that's positive and affecting those young people or adults who are at that bus stop. So it means a lot. And one of the great things to be out there and be engaged and being part of it is being able to shape the world around them. They didn't get a chance to catch it, but there was a young person that walked by. I was painting on the side, and they're like, "Oh, wow, that's cool. Are you an artist?" I'm like, "Yeah, me and my crew, we're painting everything." He's like, "Whoa!" I was like, "Okay, that's amazing. Okay, but you're shaping these young people are actually shaping other young people's future, which is valuable."
A listener wanted to ask, and this. I'm going to kick this Sean's way because Sean is someone who's not just an artist who's worked in just about every part of our community, but dabbled briefly in the question on council politics. So this listener wanted to know, can you briefly discuss the 14621 neighborhood? We're totally left behind, a hollow shell of old industrial Rochester. It's hard to know that some parts of our city feel left behind, Sean.
That's actually part of my drive, listener who wrote, that's my neighborhood, 14621. I've been a 14621er most of my life. There are avenues and areas that are surfacing. So if you're even in the Joseph Avenue area, I'm going to talk about the Black Box Theater, Rena Golden, way to go, my sister. We're going to have a community theater on Joseph Avenue, which is going to be a fantastic connection, which is part of the Joseph Avenue Arts Committee that's happening. So there's actually 14621 is not lost. We're actually there listening. I'm listening on other avenues as well. I was part of the Rock the Riverway Advisory Committee. So we've been engaged in the neighborhood listening about connections and how do we help support some of 14621 who is left off the table. So I think there is a reconnection to the neighborhood, and it's coming from the residents themselves, listeners. So it's not forgotten. It is a great neighborhood.
And I just want to say, you know, Cameron Community Ministries, which is one of your locations for the mural project, we had a caller from Cameron call us just... Boy, oh boy, what day is it? Thursday. Was it last week or this week that we talked about Lyle Avenue and the efforts to change and revitalize and change the image of a neighborhood and the decades-long struggle that's been and how central Cameron has been there? But that's an example, Sean, that change does take time. It doesn't necessarily happen overnight, and it takes a lot of people pulling together. And I know that's so much of what your work is about. I mean, whether it's in the sphere of art or just sort of community building, it doesn't happen with one person in one place.
No, it doesn't. And with these young people, they were great. So we took our core team to Cameron, and what we did was we hung out on Lyle Avenue. We went to the stores. They're like, hey, this is what's going on. This is what's happening. We got to see some sites that might have been a little sketchy, but we keep it moving. And I'm saying we not keep it moving as let's leave it alone, but keep it moving as we grow and learn from it so that you can actually interact. So when it was during their free meal time, you engage. Let's sit down and eat. Let's break bread with individuals. Let's enjoy. We're not here to be separatist and we're just here to paint and we don't care about what's going on. We actually care. So they're playing on the same playing ground that the community neighborhoods play on. We have to be part of it. They know about the rat as well. That's to Cameron.
Oh, yeah.
He's our buddy. But so it's really about being there and being part of the culture so that outside of even that arena, they can say hello to some of the individuals who receive services or are part of that community.
There's always a story that I feel like I'm missing. You know.
Yeah.
Zach, you want to tell the story of the rat? What's going on?
Okay, so so he was so Sean was going to do some work on the paint in Cameron. So, and then he said he saw a rat that ate a squirrel or something like that.
It was as big as
it attacked a squirrel and it was attacking birds. I never saw this before, and I'm like, okay, I'm getting out of here because I'm scared. I was with my partner Ephraim, who's worked with me on Fruit Belt Project and gone with me to Brazil, and I'm like, okay, we're getting out of here because that rat is attacking human beings and anything moving, so we're getting out of here. So part of it was, you know, be careful of the dumpster, so you know, we don't want our pal Mickey to get you over there.
Mickey. Yeah. See, look at all the laughter. These students have already learned so much from Sean. We're going to have a chance, we think, by middle end of June to see some real finished work here. Okay. And then, Sean, what's the life of a mural? How long does it stay that way?
That's a good question. Yeah. In most cases, I have murals out there that are like 12 years old and still carry their vibrancy and their color and haven't been defaced. So in this case, we're making sure that it'll last long. Oh, I have to give a shout out to Sherwin Williams. Pat, I hope you're listening. Sherwin Williams has come on once again to help us with our Frederick Douglass project as far as National Painting Day. They've always been supportive and they work along with the young people to make it happen. I have to give a shout out. I got to give some amazing. To Rochester Public Library System, Ned, where you at, brother? South Ave, Aaron, Vicky Govia, Lindsay, I know you're listening out there. I got to give a shout out to Congo. Oh, keep shaking them cans, brother. And we'll have the mural, and this is where one of the things I want them to understand. As we said before, the most important thing about paint is what?
You have to watch it dry.
No.
No.
You can
paint over it.
Yes, and if the mural needs to change as the community changes, then let it be so, because that's what is important.
Okay. Well, I have a feeling, though, what you've created and what you're creating in these four quadrants are going to last quite a while, because it's been a thoughtful process. And one more time, if you want to join them, what's the day to join them?
June 8th.
Yes.
At School 12. Mm-hmm. All day.
Pay now. We're going to have some food, all that kinds of stuff. I'm going to open my big mouth and say things we may not have.
I know. I'm going to hold you accountable.
Are you writing a check you can't cash right now?
Sometimes somebody usually comes through because I put it out there. The same thing happened paint out before. And Cameron, refresher, love you, brother. He came through with his food truck. So there we go.
Do you need any painting experience to join you that day?
Absolutely no.
No, you just need to know how to watch paint dry.
Well, that just about everybody
skill.
Can do. What's that?
That's an easy skill.
That's an easy skill. That's exactly right. It's been an interesting hour and a good chance to see what's happening in our community among people, whether it's a teacher, an artist, sixth grade students, about 30 sixth grade students working together to create these murals, to get to know these neighborhoods, to have different experiences. And we've learned a lot from them this hour. I want to thank our guests for being here, starting with Alexis Stubbe, sixth grade teacher at Genesee Community Charter School. Thanks for taking the time, Alexis. Good luck with this.
Thank you, Evan.
Have fun.
We will. We do.
All right. Very good. And the two students that Alexis brought with her, I know there could have been a lot more students as well.
Yeah.
But our congratulations to Natalia Barone. Nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. And Zach Neuer, good luck to you. Thank you, Zach.
Thank you.
Sean Dunwoody, always good to see you.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you, Evan.
All right. So you've got your instructions. If you want to grab a stick, a roller, a roller pad. Is that what it's called?
No, what's it called?
Roller cover.
Roller cover. See? Natalia's on it. A lot to learn that day, and they are going to be teaching you. Our thanks to John Andrus, engineer. Megan Max, the producer. Thanks to Barsook Woo-hoo. Records. Barsook Records says, green light, you can use our music as long as you like, and it's Rah Rah Riot. People like to ask me, what's the music of your show? It's local. It's local stuff. Rah Rah Riot, Shadowcasting. Look it up and contribute. Support artists by not just checking it out, but by maybe buying the artist's work, too. That's always a good thing to do. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a great afternoon. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Member Supported Public Radio.